Welcome to the Midlife Rise and Thrive podcast. I am your host, Dr. Sarah Poltnick. If you have been wondering how to feel your best in mind, body, and spirit as you navigate through midlife, then this is the show for you. Each week, I'm sharing accessible education, heartfelt stories, and exclusive interviews. We will be talking about everything from health and wellness to sex and relationships and the many challenges and opportunities that come with midlife. It's time to take charge and live fully with intention as you write your next chapter. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Today I'm chatting with Elizabeth Soto Baez. Elizabeth is a women's empowerment coach and breathwork facilitator, walking alongside women who've experienced divorce and separation. She aims to help women to end a life full of emptiness, confusion, and overwhelm, and truly step into a life of freedom, passion, and peace of mind. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here with you today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, there's a lot of women in midlife that have either gone through a divorce or a separation recently, or perhaps are going through a divorce or separation. And that's obviously a time full of emotion, trauma, but sometimes it's a time full of excitement. So I'd love to chat with you about how you help women in this transitional time when they're going through a breakup.
Yeah, of course. So part of what I do with them is based on what I worked through myself. I decided in 2019 I couldn't be married anymore after some epiphanies. And after my divorce was finalized in 2020, I realized I could start over, but I didn't know what that meant or what that was going to look like or how. The big how question, how do you do all of these things?
Yeah.
I didn't have any answers, but I knew intuitively, I don't know, it was just in me. And I find most of my clients have this. It was just in me that possibilities were available. I just needed to take steps towards that. And so I committed to that healing journey. I had a coach. I had therapists. I read all the books. I did all the classes. I did a ton of like self-work. And so when I meet with clients now, it's not unusual to have the stories overlap a ton. And they resonate with the, I just don't know what I'm doing, but something's possible story. And I lost myself in my marriage, and that was really unfortunate. And I feel sad about that still. But I don't want to continue to feel sad. And then the other part of that is my kids are watching, and I don't want them to see me not being empowered, not doing good things, because then they're just going to copy what I do. And that's been really fascinating as well. So I take them through a process. We kind of dive into self a lot. So as an empowerment coach, we kind of work on how do we get you empowered? And what does that look like to be empowered? And how does it feel to be empowered? And we really are peeking through layer after layer after layer. And some days, like you said, it's like, oh, that was the best decision I ever made. And other days, it's like, oh my God, what did I do?
Right.
Most of my clients were the initiators of the divorce. So they really toggle between those spaces.
It is interesting. It seems like there's been a shift that women are leaving marriages more rather than being left, but each circumstance presents its own set of challenges. Being the person leaving the marriage doesn't mean that it's easier for the person leaving the marriage.
Oh, no, no. No. It is definitely not easier. For me personally, leaving was freeing. It was the first time, I hadn't known this, but it was the first time that I could really breathe. I struggled with anxiety, and I did not know that that was what was happening to me. So I would often feel out of breath, have heart palpitations, get kind of sweaty, and some of those body anxiety sensations. And I just thought something's wrong with me. I actually went to a cardiologist at one point, like, so
right.
This weird thing. It was anxiety the entire time. And when I committed and made that decision, I could breathe. I felt light and free. And it was almost like we opened the door and everything is an option now. Also, sad, grieving, overwhelmed. The transition of like being a couple for 14 years to living as a single woman, being a single mom. And so being the one who chooses doesn't take away from the pain or the transition or the struggle at all. It can be freeing. Mm-hmm. It is a different kind of heartbreak for sure, but it is heartbreak nonetheless.
Well, I've found, at least with my personal friendships and myself, that often the heartbreak is, it comes on during the marriage. And so maybe the freedom is, the freedoms and the feelings of freedom is after that, but that's because you've been grieving for so long within the relationship. So it's not a matter of it being easier or harder, but at least speaking for myself and a few of my friends, close friends, maybe the timing of the heartbreak is different, or, you know, the nature of it. There's a lot of loneliness when you are the leaver or the leavee, right? So anytime a marriage or a significant relationship breaks up like this, there's loneliness there. And it's just a question of when you experience it and how you experience it.
100%. Yes. And I definitely grieved and was heartbroken during my marriage, which is really confusing because the mindset was like, you know, marriage is supposed to be this incredible partnership and it's supposed to be hard, but also supposed to be beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't experience so much of the beautiful part.
Right.
And so, yes, that is true. Some people do have the heartbreak in the midst of the relationship.
Yeah. So what do you do for these women? We turn towards self-work, but what does that mean?
Yeah. So all of my sessions are curated for my clients because they're all at different spaces in their divorce and rehab or recalibration journey. We do a lot of inner child and parts work. So a lot of my sessions are about the parts of us that feel afraid, the parts of us that feel insecure. We talk a lot about core wounds, which are those programs that are built in by the time we're 7 years old. Our subconscious has all these programs designed. And so that's what we're working from. And for some of my clients, they already know about that. They just don't know how to reprogram. Some of them come in and say, I had no idea that I was working from programs from when I was 5. And so really making those discoveries together and then using breath work in my sessions, because what this ends up doing is really causing some nervous system disruption.
Mm-hmm.
Very unnerving to uncover some layers that you didn't expect or make discoveries that can feel traumatic. So we do breath work to recalibrate the nervous system and regulate and make sure that women continue to feel safe in the sessions. And not just safe because we're talking about deep things, but nervous system, body safety, so that they can continue to do hard work without their body resisting the work.
Mm.
And it's been incredibly powerful to have that balance of we're doing the mind work, but we're also doing the body work, because really all the trauma is in the body. It's trapped in your muscles and your organs. And so we have to do both of them. And I love it. It's been so powerful. And of course, there's action steps, and each action step is designed specifically for where that particular client is. Luckily, all of my clients have come in gung-ho and ready to like, just make all the things happen, Liz. Show up for themselves. And that's really empowering for me as their coach, to see them really show up for themselves when for years and years and years, they did not show up for themselves.
Yeah.
Coming in and feeling empowered and excited. And then the stories they come back with when they say, my friends are saying, they can't believe how much I've changed in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so empowering. So the ripple effect of their work with me, with their friends and family, is really beautiful.
And how is what you're doing different than traditional therapy?
That's a great question. So in traditional therapy, what typically happens is in like a CBT setting, so cognitive behavioral therapy, we're doing a lot of talk therapy. We're a lot talking about things that have happened in the past. What happened in the past? What happened when you were growing up? What happened? All of these past situations. That's actually really important. And for some of the people that I've connected with, I've recommended therapy first. When they come in to see me, we're taking the knowledge they have of the past and we're saying, how is that impacting today? And how can we move forward with a brand new perspective? So we need the past information. But then we look at how it reflects in our beingness now so that we can make shifts that are transformational so they can move forward.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So I would imagine that that's where breathwork really comes in. Can we talk a little bit more about breathwork? Can you explain some of the breathwork practices and just a little bit more about breathwork for my listeners that may not know much about it?
Absolutely. So breathwork is just essentially conscious breathing. It's the choice to pay attention to when you breathe in and when you breathe out and feeling it move in your body. In a traditional meditative experience, they tell you to watch your breath, because when you do that, it brings your body into the present moment. Now, the power of that is multifaceted. So being in the present moment allows you to let go of anxiety, and it allows you to let go of worry, because anxiety is dwelling on things that happened in the past. Worry is not being afraid of what's to come, the future. And so when you're in the present moment, you're able to sense and feel yourself in a different way. When you do that, you can notice where in your body tension lives, that anxiety might live, that trauma might live. And when we breathe in a more intense way, so I have different types of breath patterns that I will introduce to my clients depending on where they are, the intensity of the pattern actually allows us to push out the emotion, the trauma, the tension in those spaces. It sounds wild. And when I talk about it with people, they're like, I don't kind of know what you mean. And that is reasonable. I invite people into free breathwork sessions all the time. Just come and do a session with me, because I can explain it to you. But unless you experience it, it is hard to fathom what that can be like. But because we know that trauma and memories are stored in our body, we can know that doing body work will allow us to what I call sift out, like a sifter, sift out those traumatic experiences. So I've definitely had criers during breathwork session. I actually had one client who had never done one before and came in and wept the entire breathwork session. And at the end, she's, I didn't know that I was going to cry so much, and things came up and I really need to like unpack now. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what happens when we do breath work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just connecting to your body. And we've forgotten how to live in our body. We live in our minds. And people say that without realizing, oh, I'm so in my head. I had someone today, I'm such an overthinker. And we are. We're overthinkers. We're always in our head. And it feels overwhelming because that's all we do. So the breath allows us to be in our body. And it's really a beautiful space.
Lovely. So when someone comes to you, you do an evaluation to see if they're an appropriate client for you. You said that sometimes you recommend therapy, but if they are the appropriate client for you, what does it look like to work with you?
So right now I have two programs. Everyone is invited to an empowerment call. It's the 1-hour freebie call. It's coaching and connection and discovery together. And during that time, my potential clients and current clients, because they've all had this call, get to experience what it's like to be coached. And we make discoveries. Every single time, 100% of the women that I've talked to on the phone for empowerment calls, whether they became clients or not, left the call empowered and kind of on fire. Like, wow, I didn't know that about me. during that time, I learn a little bit about where they are and their intentions and their energy and what they're feeling might be the next thing for them. And then together, it's really it's a joint decision. Together, we make a decision about what their next step is going to be. And sometimes it is therapy. They've never been. It's been a lot of years. They're working through stuff like in the past that they can't figure out. That really is for the therapeutic setting. But if they're like, I've done all this therapy and I'm ready to dive in because I don't want to be here spinning my wheels on the same story all the time. Mm-hmm. That's our decision to work together. I have two programs. I have a one-on-one container called Breathe for Life. It's a 6-month container. We meet every single week for an hour. We do coaching sessions that are dedicated to just coaching. We do breathwork sessions that are just dedicated to breathwork. Sometimes we do both depending on what the client needs. I have one client right now with severe anxiety. And so we need to come in and do breath work first.
Yeah.
To get her nervous system regulated so we can do hard things. Mm-hmm. And then I have a group coaching program. It opens in the spring. It's a container of just 6 women. And I love the group coaching because all of the women I've connected with feel so lonely. Mm-hmm. They feel like no one gets it. It's so hard. I'm being judged and criticized. I've lost friendships. My family doesn't get it. It is so hard for me. And I just want to be in a place where I could just be how I am.
Mm-hmm.
And the group container absolutely allows for that. So that's a 3-month program, 90 days. And that opens up in the spring. So I'm excited for that container for the women to pop in and just create that connection. The other problem for women in their midlife is friendships are hard. I don't know if you've noticed or experienced that or in your work, like they feel lonely even if they've never got through a divorce. It's just hard to be friends. So this container really is about creating that connection and of course doing the work. We're going to be coaching and doing the work.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So what do you recommend for women if they're not necessarily ready for coaching, but they're struggling through a divorce and they're doing therapy? Are there books that they can look at? Are there resources you could recommend as starting points if they're not quite ready to dive in?
100%. So I did create a compilation of books that I've read over the last few years that have been pivotal in my healing. I can be sure to share the link to that compilation of books for you. And I have it categorized so that people can feel like we've got love, we've got boundaries, we've got money. Money's another thing that comes all the time. So I've really organized that so that women can feel empowered to read and learn on their own. That's really beautiful. The other thing that I always recommend, and I've gotten pushback from some women on this, but there's so much research to support this, is journaling.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really, really taking time to take what's happening in your head and dumping it. And I did have a client who resisted. She's, I just don't like it. Like, it's, I don't want to write a story. And I'm like, who said you have to write a story? Don't write stories. It doesn't have to be complete sentences. It doesn't have to be a paragraph. It could be bullet points. It's just a brain dump. Because when you leave all of the things in your head, it's really hard to organize. It's hard to get clear. It's hard to know what it is you're supposed to do because it's just a jumbled up mess in your brain.
Wow.
So journaling. And if people are still like, yeah, I'm not going to write, then the secondary piece is talking out loud to yourself.
Talk
out loud to you in third person. So in my case, a bit, all right, Liz, you're feeling really frustrated about this. It feels very scary. This is why you feel scared. And when you do that, stuff comes up and you're like, oh my God, I'm scared because of this. And oh my gosh, this is why I feel like this other thing is happening. The out loud third person talking, your brain hears someone else.
Yeah.
It allows you to process differently. So I'm happy to share my book link with you. That is a great place to start.
Great. And
journaling is my next do it. Just get the crazy out of your head.
Yeah. And like you said, it doesn't have to be this beautiful masterpiece. It's only for you.
Oh, yeah. It's not. And you never have to read it ever again if you don't want to.
Right.
It's just a place to put the heaviness of what's happening inside of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Great. We'll make sure to share that link in the show notes. Is there anything else you'd like to share for women going through divorce?
Whew, that's a big question, Sarah. You know what? Divorce, when you first start, feels impossible and endless. But there's absolutely a light at the end of the tunnel. There is absolutely a space to become a new version of you. And there is absolutely a space to grow and forgive and grieve and be a beautiful, brand new you.
Yeah.
Stuck ever. I know we feel stuck. We imagine stuckness, but we're not actually stuck. There are tools, there are ways, there are things that you can do. I always tell women, find your people. Find your people
yeah.
so that you can have safe spaces to be when it feels hard. It won't always be like this. And you don't have to know how. You just have to show up for yourself every day. You really do. Stop asking how. Just wake up and do the things that you do.
Yeah.
You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised when you look back and you're like, oh my God, I did it. I can't believe that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrate you. You get to celebrate. Other people may celebrate you, but you get to celebrate you too. Look at you, girl. You made that happen.
Yeah.
It's really powerful. So it's not the end. It's a new beginning, which is right. exciting. It can be really exciting.
Well, I'm excited for all of your programs. The loneliness piece really can hit hard because it's not often that you're going through a divorce at the same time as everybody else. It's usually, a separate time where you can talk to your friends, but they're not in it with you. So it's so nice to have these programs when you need them, whether it be that you're more comfortable with the one-on-one or the group because you really need connection. So thank you for offering this to the women of the world. We need it.
Oh my God, I love this. This gives me so much life. I love it so much. And we absolutely need it. And women need to support women. Women empowering women. That's what we're all about. That's what this work is all about for me. So
absolutely.
My pleasure. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Like I said, we'll share the show notes and there'll be links in there for you to get in touch with Elizabeth. And if you need someone, reach out to Elizabeth. She can help you regulate your nervous system, get rid of some of that anxiety surrounding all these hard things that you're doing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. My pleasure. Thank you for having me here today. It was awesome chatting with you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
I hope you have enjoyed this episode of the Midlife Rise and Thrive podcast. If you are struggling right now to answer the question, what's next? I want you to sit with me here for a moment. Take this moment with me to breathe in deeply. Go ahead and breathe in and breathe out completely. I want you to set a new intention to rise and thrive in this truly important next chapter of your life. Sometimes it's tough to get started, and I want to help. Grab your free copy of my self-assessment tool that will give you 3 ways to get started. Link is in the show notes. I'll see you next time.